The gospel this morning is taken from Matthew, chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe has been laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Here ends the gospel reading. Heavenly Father, your presence is with us. Open our hearts and our minds to receive what you want to say to each one of us today. And it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. going down. Oh, well, we'll leave it down. One of the names for a prophet in the Old Testament was a seer. A seer, someone who sees from God's perspective and sees what his people need to hear. Someone who sees people and situations in a deeper way. John the Baptist was a seer, even in the womb. Did you pick up over Christmas the reading that when Mary, when Mary came to visit her cousin Elizabeth, we read that the baby in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, leapt as the two women greeted each other. Could only have been Mary who told Elizabeth as they shared that together and told the gospel writer. Wasn't it a very intimate moment for those two women? He recognized this baby was going to be someone special. When you have an important visitor, maybe to your home, you've perhaps had lots of visitors over Christmas, or maybe your place of work, or even in your community, what often happens? You remember when the Queen came to Leicester, it must be about 7 or 8 years ago now. What happens? Well, we make special arrangements, don't we, which involve tidying up. If we women, we probably see dusting, polishing, preparing a meal, wearing our best clothes. And have you had the experience of you start to look at your own home through different eyes? Suddenly, what seems so familiar to you, you look at it slightly differently. Maybe you notice there's a cobweb up in the top corner that you've never spotted before. That's a woman's perspective. Sorry, chaps, but... But there is something that you see something that's very familiar, but with new eyes. I don't know whether you've had that experience. I'm sure you must have had in all sorts of situations. 30 years have passed since John and Jesus greeted each other in the womb. and they're grown men now, each having a calling from God. And here comes John in our reading, preaching in the wilderness. In the wilderness. Not in a synagogue, not in a home or a village, a place of comfort, familiarity, wealth even. And he isn't dressed in the latest fashion statement. His clothing is homely clothing, we might say. It just speaks of basic life necessities. A wilderness. It's a word we can read over quickly, but is there something significant in that word? A wilderness is a challenging place. Physically, often it's barren. There's extremes of temperature. There's not many creature comforts. But a wilderness can be challenging mentally and spiritually. It strips us down, so to speak, to the bare essentials, to see what is really important. When you're in a wilderness situation, you don't want to be carrying unnecessary baggage. And you may have seen films of people lost in a wilderness and realize they drop this and drop that because they don't want to have to carry that. And God's call through John is drawing people. I think the significance with wilderness is it's drawing people from the comfort of their homes, their community, their synagogue, where everything is so familiar. And they actually come out from these communities to hear him. There must have been something about John that really drew people. The place of baptism is also significant. It's the River Jordan. Remember in your Old Testament, this was the place where the Israelites entered the land that God had promised them after all those years of wandering in the wilderness, years of moaning and groaning and complaining and doubting God's provision. Even though they'd had endless experiences of God's provision. That generation had died out now. Even Moses, their leader, only saw the promised land from a distance. He never entered into that promised land. So it's a new generation that's crossing the Jordan, and their lives will change. God's call through John is to repent, to look at how they're living, the choices they're making, and see where they need to be changed, to return to God. A powerful term for turning their life around and coming back to their holy God. And we can see that theme if we take that long view of the Old Testament. We can see that theme constantly through the Old Testament. God calls his people to come back to him, to repent and come back. But now the call is urgent because the kingdom of heaven is close by. The kingdom, the savior that they've been looking for. They would all have known, everyone who heard John would have known Isaiah's prophecy that Richard read for us in our Old Testament reading. What John is saying is the Savior is near. And how near? He was in the crowd that came for baptism. John recognized him again. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." How many of them really saw in this figure the Savior of the world? John was a powerful figure. His words both drew and shook people. And they repented and they sought baptism as an outward sign of an inner change. And John uses picture language. He's not talking about getting out your spades and shovels and picks. He uses picture language to express how we need to make a straight path in the desert. The highs and the lows need to be smoothed out, rough places made into a plain. What's that all about? How do we translate that? It's a call to be prepared, to turn away from ways of thinking and acting that represent those boulders, those traps, those pitfalls in our own lives as well, which draw our focus from God. And boy, hasn't our focus been changed for many people over this Christmas time? Where has the focus been when we've been watching our television? Could you sit back and watch it more detached as we get older? Our consumer society, our media, they drip feed us with so much that draws us away from God. But can we see how we are being insidiously affected, tempted with images of living that look so tempting, don't they? Fantastic food, wonderful clothes, a new settee, fabulous holidays. But it draws us away from God. We must have, dot, 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 dot. 2 days ago, it probably cost £200. You go into Leicester tomorrow, it's worth 50. So what's that all about? What is of value? And the value, surely, is knowing Jesus. A value that doesn't decrease, but as we journey with him, will increase. And this is the time of year when we often do look back on the year that's passed. It can be an important time for us to reflect on where have been the traps that we've fallen into, the boulders that have been in our path that we've struggled to get round or climb over. What do we need to clear away? It's a time of repentance. John saw among the crowds some Pharisees and Sadducees, and wow, didn't he have harsh words for them? You brood of vipers, who called you to flee from the coming wrath? That's really in your face, isn't it? John didn't mince his words. These two groups represented the religious people, the Pharisees, who taught the scriptures and whose desire for perfection laid burdens on God's people that drained and discouraged and led the Pharisees into the trap of pride. The Sadducees were the political wing. They were the power brokers of their day. And it was power that they were hungry for. That was the trap that they fell into. And as we look at this passage and think about it, can we see even at this stage those who would oppose Jesus already gathering, not prepared to admit that they too needed to change? They didn't like it. So we can see, if your eyes are open and you read the Gospels, see how that comes through and through. John says that the outward show proves nothing. Don't think that you can be baptized here and carry on as you did. What is the fruit that your life is going to produce that's in keeping with repentance? John's call to repent isn't just an historical account, but it's one that's relevant to each one of us today. God's call, his word is alive and active. Take a moment to reflect, how does it speak to each one of us this morning? Are we cleansing our hearts and being prepared to receive Christ afresh as we accept the invitation to kneel at the Lord's table and receive the bread and the wine? How do we respond to that call? Amen.